Are you afraid of God? I don't want you to answer that right away because it sounds like a ridiculous question. Of course, I'm not afraid of God. But I want you to wait till I'm done with my homily to answer that question in your hearts. Are you afraid of God? I don't mean fear of God that you read about in the Bible, where it talks about the fear of God is the beginnings of wisdom. First of all, it's a poor term they use. It's more like the awe of God or the wonderment of God. It's sort of like if you ever flew over the United States and you see the Rocky Mountains from the air, it just looks like you're so small. And you just think about your smallness. And that's the wonderment of God, the fear of God that they talk about. Sort of like the fear of nature, because we see tornadoes and things like that. It's not the same thing. It's understanding the power. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, are you really afraid of God? I can give you reason to be afraid of God. You heard it in our gospel today. There's three of them, and they're all in the gospel today. The first one is, it sounds like if you're not good enough, you're going to burn forever. If you don't take care of the people that need help, I don't know how much you're supposed to take care of them. It doesn't tell us. I don't know if you're supposed to take care of one person or every person you ever meet. But the fear is that if I just don't do enough good things, I got one chance in this world or I'm going to burn. This is it. So that would make me afraid a little bit. The second thing is we're under surveillance at all times. God sees everything. He sees everything you do here. He sees everything you do in your home. He sees everything everywhere. I don't want to be under surveillance. I'm scared of that. The third thing we see and we hear is that God sort of knows, and we know, if we search our hearts, that we're broken. That no matter, even if we try to be good and try to do what God tells us, we fail. We lie, we steal, we cheat, we cover ourselves, we throw other people under the bus. We know that when we search our own hearts, we know we can't be that good. Even St. Paul says it in words that I'm sure you will remember. He says, "For I know that good does not dwell in me. The willing is ready at hand, but doing the good is not. For I do not do the good I want, but I do the evil I do not want." That frustration, knowing that even if we were trying to be good, we couldn't make it, would make me afraid as well from what we do. And finally, this story is just kind of scary. And it's not normal for us to hear that kind of scary from Jesus. I mean, if we remember Jesus' stories, they're always nice. We just heard the prodigal son, how the father warms the son back. That's the kind of story we like. We don't like these kind of stories. Because in our Catholic faith, we're always used to a both and story. Like we say both and. The kingdom of God is both here and it's to come. The Eucharist is both the body and blood of Jesus, but it still tastes like bread and wine. Jesus is both God and he's both man. And here it's either or. Either you're going to be good and you're going to get rewarded, or you're going to be evil and bad and you're going to burn. What's going on? This story actually is not about good and evil and bad and good, and not about heaven and hell. This story is about a choice. And Jesus, whenever you hear a story of either and or, God and Jesus is telling you, you need to make a choice. All the both and stories are about the kingdom and Jesus. They're all about mystery. Making a choice is not a mystery in our lives. The first thing, so why does Jesus tell this story? The first thing is, who does he tell it to? Understand that. The first thing he says is, Jesus said this to the Pharisees. Jesus had very poor tolerance for hypocrites, ones that proclaimed that they were following God and then did other things that were bad. That's the people he's talking to. That's what this story is. And what you don't hear at the end of the story is, how did the Pharisees take it? Luke tells us that as well. He says, the Pharisees, who love money, sneered at Jesus when they heard this story. So there's a clue right there. So Jesus is telling us we need to make a choice about God. And when we make a choice about God, it has to be all or nothing. It can't just be a head choice where we say, God is not like a car. It's not like making a decision about God is not like buying a car. It's not like you go on the website and, you know, buygod.com. Okay, God, this is what I want. I'll follow you, but of course you got to be big and powerful, so if I get in an accident, that you'll save me. And God, you got to have all these, you know, warnings around me that if I'm not paying attention, you'll save me from that too. And God, you got to have, you know, like all-wheel drive in case I get stuck, you're going to be able to pull me out. And God, you must have warm seats so that if I'm cold and lonely, you'll save me and make me feel better. And God, of course, you got to have a touch screen and you got to have surround sound so that I don't have to worry about all the icky people around me. That's not how you choose God. You choose God in a relationship. And Jesus is saying, whenever you're choosing God in a relationship, you can't go half in. You can't go partly in. You can't go partly from what you're going to say. Think about all the relationships that you have. You don't get married and say, okay, honey, I think I'll like you about 50% of the time. With your kids, when you become a parent, you don't go, okay, son, I'll pay attention to you about 20%. I'm busy. When you go choose a relationship, choose, and he said the relationship and the faith that you get when you choose God is a relational interaction. It's not a, you know, where you choose, like I said, it's not like buying a car. So Jesus says in that relational interaction, there is no place for fear. There's no place for fear. But yet how hard it is, he's saying, for somebody to say that they choose God when they love something else. You know, last time I was here, I was talking about how I felt my whole life I was going to be destitute and the only thing that saved me was my Allen Edmonds shoes. I'm thinking how crazy that is to think that, but in my mind back then, as long as I had Allen Edmonds shoes, I'm not going to be poor. I thought that was nutty. Now it's nutty. But I'm trying to say that's what God is saying. As long as I was in love with that and afraid that I'd lose my Allen Edmonds shoes, I can't really choose God. God says there's no place for fear in what you're doing. And if you do it out of fear, it's not a choice at all. And think about that in your lives. I mean, if anybody tried to make a relationship with you, tried to say, trust me, love me, and they were doing it out of fear, it's never going to last. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. We can't choose out of fear from what we're doing. What about the last part? What about the last part of it where I feel bad for the rich man? Because, first of all, he wasn't that bad because he really just ignored Lazarus, but it wasn't like he was kicking him or doing stuff to him. And even in the end, when he's tormented, he's burning and knows he's going to be like there forever, he thinks about his family. That's not bad. He thinks about his brothers. He says, God, help my brothers. If I've made a mess of this, at least help my family. What's that all about? God says, and Jesus says, if you don't know that God is good, and God is love from reading the Bible and experiencing Jesus, there isn't anything else I can do for you. If you can't look at the Bible and see that through the Moses and the prophets, that God said, I will love you as a mother loves her child, and that even if a mother abandons her child, I will not abandon you. If you can't get that out of the Bible, there's nothing else God can do for you. That's what God is trying to say. And if you can't, through the experience of God to that day and the experience of Jesus, if you can't go all in with God because you're afraid, Jesus says, there's nothing more that God can do for you. Everything you need is in the Bible, the scriptures, and in the story and interaction in my life. There's nothing more coming. Jesus is trying to separate what we call skeptics from cynics, because Jesus knows that even if we make a choice of God, even if we say, God, I'm going to go all in with you, He knows we're broken and that we're still going to doubt. And we're still going to have times where, God, I really want to believe in you, but I just can't because I'm so scared. God knows that. And so he says, look in the Bible. Look in the scriptures. Look in my life. Your answers are there. They're not anywhere else. A skeptic is a person that doubts, but if he gets the information he wants, they'll believe. A cynic will not believe no matter what. And Jesus says, you Pharisees, you're cynics. I can't tell you or tell you anything that'll make you understand that God is love and that you need to go all in with him and give up the other loves you have for possessions. I can't tell you anything more. That's what he was trying to say. That's why the Pharisees were so unhappy with him. They weren't skeptics. They didn't say, okay, Jesus, give me a little bit more and I'll believe you. They found every reason not to believe him from what he's doing. And you know what's caused by? Fear. There is no place for the spirit of fear in a relationship with God. And I will tell you that if you really, really try to get a relationship with God, not based on fear, but based on love, two things will happen in your lives. One is, I'm going to say, you will not fear dying. And if you're afraid of death, I'm going to challenge you that you are afraid of God. Because if you're afraid of death, you're afraid of meeting the person and the purpose of your life. So if you're really not afraid, you won't be afraid of death. The second thing is that the experience that you will have in this world of love of spouse, of love of friends, of love of family, when you die, you're going to go to heaven and you're going to see God face to face and you're going to be revealed to the love that you've never, the depth that you've never known. But you know what? It'll be familiar to you. You'll go, I know what this is like. I loved like this down on earth. So our story today is not a story of heaven and hell. It's a story of choosing and choosing God in relationship, but doing it completely out of faith and not fear.